Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And good afternoon. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And it's our first show of the year. So I want to wish you a very happy new year. Welcome to 2010. It's that time again. Yes, of course, when we set out with the best of intentions and make resolutions. But according to studies, about 70% of us have already broken at least one of our New Year's resolves. Eric's pulling a face here, so I'm going to ask him in a minute if he's one of those 70%. Are you one of those 70%? You were pulling a face at me.
I was just thinking that I kind of forgot to make resolutions. So. Oh.
Well,
it just reminded me, hey, I should make some resolutions so I get around to breaking them.
There you go.
I did have one resolution, which was to upgrade my life by simplifying. And so far, I think I'm on the right track to that. So
it sounds like it. If you didn't make any resolutions, that's simply, is that simplifying?
Exactly.
It's part of the plan, right?
Exactly.
Well, good. One of my focuses this year is to set myself more challenging goals and to focus my life around a Swahili word that I just love. It's mwelu. I can't even say it. It's mwelu. It's spelt.
But you love it.
But I love it.
All right.
It's spelt M-W-E-L-U, and it's Swahili for meaning brightness and light. And to me, that sums up living with joy and passion and curiosity and compassion. You like that, Eric?
This time of year, we need all the brightness and light we can get, so I love it.
So with that in mind, I've got two great guests to join us today. Who better to talk with us than Joyce Chapman? She is somebody who is herself planning to dream bigger and dance more this year. We'll find out about that in just a moment. I know her, and I know that she will dream bigger and she will dance more. And my second guest lost 35 kilos 17 years ago, and I forget, I meant to look at how many pounds that was, but it's a good number. She lost 35 kilos 17 years ago and has maintained her goal weight ever since. She's now one of Australia's top experts in low-fat cooking and the author of 5 books that all have been approved by the Diabetes Australia Society. So they're all about good health. And I think Eric's looking up kilos here. So we might... Did you find anything yet?
Hang on one sec.
So, but first, I'm going to bring Joyce Chapman on and we'll interrupt in a minute.
77 pounds.
77 pounds.
That's a lot.
That's a significant amount of weight. That is a significant amount of weight. And the key thing is she's
how many stones is that?
Oh, you divide it by 14.
Okay.
It's my first day back at work today. I can't do that in my head today.
Fair enough.
But let's bring on Joyce Chapman, my first guest today. She's devoted her entire working life to empowering others, first as a teacher for the California public school system, later as director and developer of an innovative private school in San Diego. And for more than 15 years, Joyce has helped thousands of dreamers flip their dreams into reality in her role as a consultant, speaker, counselor, coach, and author. She's the owner of and founder of Live Your Dream. Joyce Chapman, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm pleased to
have Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. I'm pleased to have you back. And I said at the beginning of the show that you had told me that your resolution this year is to dream bigger and dance more. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, as you already know, Vicki, I am passionate about knowing who I am and what I can be this lifetime. And so I thought, okay, what do I want to do in 2010? And I always come up with some kind of motto. And I went, I want to begin again in 2010. And one of the things I love to do is dance. And I also love to dream. So I wrote a poem called A Dance and Dream With Me. And it's just been an incredibly powerful motivator to be in the joy of creating that.
Yeah. Well, do you want to share that poem with us?
I would love to. You want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Come dance and dream with me. Take my hand, dance with me, dream with me. Embrace the magic with me. Twirl with me, glide with me, go forward and back with me. teach me new steps. I'm sorry. Go slow with me. Go fast with me. I'll follow you and you follow me. When one song ends, take my hand and let's begin to dance and dream again.
Lovely. I love it.
Thank you. I love it.
And you make a very good point when you said that in 2010 or 2010, whichever, there's this little debate about what we should be saying.
I've actually heard about that.
Yeah, but there's much more important things in the world to worry about than that. But you made a very important point by saying that you, even though this is your life and you've dedicated your life to this and to teaching this to other people, you are giving yourself the opportunity to begin again. Because just because we fall off track or we get stuck for a certain period of time, or sometimes we just need to shake things up again, right?
Mm-hmm. So I find that to be very true.
Yeah. So when we look back on the previous year, as some of us do, and think about our goals and what we want more of next year and less of, because that's a key factor too, what are some of the key questions we should be asking ourselves to begin that discovery?
Well, I think one of the things that to start off with is, and quickly with, it was it Eric that you were playing around with in the New Year's resolution?
Yes.
Conversation, is to say, what did I learn and discover and realize and change and give up in 2009? Because that usually, that type of self-investigation, so to speak, invites us to say, okay, this is who I was, and now this is who I want to be. And then you just dive right in and start to reevaluate yourself, reinvent yourself. I love the idea of reinventing myself and to be brand new. And the question that I love to ask almost first of all is, who am I? And so if somebody stops and, stops you on the street and say, who are you? What would your answer be?
What would my answer be?
Oh, yeah, okay.
You're going to put me on the spot there.
Let's play.
I don't know. I'm a free spirit. That's where I'm coming from.
Well, I love it. And I loved your favorite new word. That's so beautiful.
Isn't it lovely?
It is just lovely. It captures a lot of what I choose too. And then just follow up with, in a sense, like some very basic questions that a lot of times people forget to ask themselves. And I believe that in every question is another question. So I love questions, and I love to ask them. So like some of the new questions that I would ask, but along with who are you, is like, what do you want? What do you want your legacy to be? What makes your heart sing? What brings you joy? What do you value? What motivates and inspires you? And then, of course, when you ask yourself those questions, stop and listen and see what your natural knowing self is saying to you.
Right, right. Are there questions, we're talking about asking ourselves the right questions, are there wrong questions to ask? Can a question be wrong?
In my opinion, no. What a question, when I say wrong, is like, say a person says to me, I just want to get rid of the drama in my life. How can I get rid of the drama in my life? It's like, is that a right question or a wrong question? Because drama is something they want to get rid of. So I say, well, focus on what your life will be like without that drama. So, no, I don't think there's a wrong question that anybody can ask.
And one question leads to another, doesn't it?
Always. Always.
And I know we have talked about this, and I believe this because I've read, hundreds and hundreds of books on this topic, and all of yours, of course, too. But I know that one of your biggest strengths is asking questions and getting down to the level, drilling down to the level where we get some really solid answers. So how do we know when we're on the right track and not just going down a rabbit hole? When we're asking these questions, how do we know we're asking ourselves the right questions?
I really feel that most people know when they've hit the right solution, the right answer, the next step for themselves. And I call it simply, an aha moment. And when you hit that aha moment, yes, that's what I want to do. Mm. And then, of course, the invitation is, okay, what do I have to change? What do I get to be, how do I get to be different? and then you go into the new rabbit hole, so to speak. But
right.
It's one that you choose.
Right.
It's opening the door that you choose to open.
And choice is a key thing in this.
Choice is such
and being thing. Being at choice and remembering that we're at choice.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick break. Joyce has written this. She's written a lot of books. Live Your Dream is the first book that I read of Joyce's. That came out in 1990. It's still on the shelves today. There are workbooks to go with all of her books. Journaling for Joy, If I Had Three Wishes, the Only One Would Be. And this one that I focus some of the questions around today is called Notice and Journal, and this is more like a big workbook. Would you agree with that, Joyce?
Oh, absolutely.
There's a little teaser question at the top of the page and a little teaser blurb, and then that's followed by a series of questions, and I'm going to pull some of those questions out of this book when we come back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Please stay with us, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Oh!
Next week on Conversations Live, there are those who say global warming is hype, that sustainability is just a fad, it has no foundation. Others say climate change threatens the habitability of our planet, and that the natural systems we depend on are nearing destruction. Editor Lori Mazur joins Vicky with what she believes are some realistic yet controversial solutions. Please join us Monday at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
I'm Rich Hallstrom. Join me and my co-host Tim Humphrey every Monday at 1 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150 for Motivation with a Purpose, where we will tell the inspiring stories of people from all walks of life. Motivation with a Purpose every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150 a.m.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Talk radio to brighten your day.
Open your ears. Open your heart. Open your mind. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. It's the first show of 2010, and so we're talking today about making positive choice in our life. My first guest is Joyce Chapman. She calls herself a dream activist, but she's so much more than that, too. And this book that I pulled some questions from for this next segment, she has dedicated it to those who desire to truly see and understand the most wonderful person they can ever really know. Themselves. What a lovely dedication.
I like it too.
Yes, I guess you do, since you put it in the book. I wanted to start off, Joyce, with when we find ourselves playing a role that we don't really enjoy or want to be in. And I'm just trying to find the page here. So the question that you start off the page with in this workbook is, notice when I'm playing a different role than I want, when I'm playing a role that's not congruent to my dream. Tell us a little bit about why it's important for us to ask those questions and to drill down on that.
Well, I feel like it's, you know, tied in with the question of, is there a wrong question in a way, going down the wrong road, so to speak, the wrong rabbit hole, as you said.
Right.
But so it's like, if we know, you know, who we want to be, and who we are, it takes us into, you know, also acting always, day to day, minute by minute, that person, rather than going into a different place than we say we don't want to be. A lot of times people just fall into a habit of doing something they don't really want to do. So it's like, okay, wake up, ladies and gentlemen, let's get out of that different role and decide what role you want to play. On the back of my Sermon for Joy book, I love my question, which is, are you the star of your own life? And I feel that, you know, that's the role I want to play, being the star, the leading role in my life. And I don't want to be playing a different role, and I need to wake up to when I am playing that different role.
Right, and many of us do live in that state for far too long, sometimes because we think we have to, and just drilling down with the questions and identifying, you know, under what circumstances do we play a role? Who am I with when I play a role? Uh-huh. What am I doing when I play a role? I mean, it really helps you get some clarity there. You just mentioned that one of your favorite questions is, am I the star in my own life? This was another key thing that jumped out to me. When I allow someone else to be the star of my life, and you say, notice when I allow someone else to be the star of my life, it may seem selfish to be the star of my life, but in fact, it's the most unselfish thing I can do. How do we drill down to figure out if we're allowing somebody else to be the star in our life instead of being the star of our own lives?
What a great question. Well, one of the things that, and you've already mentioned that I loved, I'm passionate about keeping a personal journal. And I believe that when you start to track your life, when you start to, like, record daily, you know, what you're doing and how you're behaving, you start to get, you know, just really, you're in conversation with yourself, Vicki. And when you're in conversation with yourself, you say, you know, I don't want to be doing this anymore. I don't want to be, you know, wearing that costume anymore. I want to be the designer of my life now. So, it's, you know, it's opening again. Opening up those new possibilities.
Right, and I think probably many of us have been in that situation where we've taken a backseat to somebody else's needs and and desires and dreams, and we've been trying to help them. And, you know, I actually had a friend who just went through a very bitter divorce after she'd helped put her husband through medical school, which doesn't seem very nice, but I guess, you know, they had other problems too. I don't know, but she sacrificed a lot to put him through medical school, and now she's starting out all over again by herself, which can be a good thing too.
And so, you know, as you look at, okay, like, what is the role I want to play? You know, be the director of your own life and, you know, write your own script is one of the reasons I love the journaling.
Right.
Because you do learn to write your own script.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of parents, and I'm a parent, as you know, and grandparent, and they feel like they, you know, that's their role and they can't be anything else. And I highly recommend and encourage just the opposite. Be all of who you can be, and then everybody that's following you, watching you, modeling after you, will learn those things. So
right.
It's like, it's very important. Can you tell? It's very important to be the star of your own life.
Right. Another question I liked, two questions, they're separate questions, but kind of related. Notice when I'm suppressing myself, and notice when I feel inhibited. Let's talk about that a little bit. What are some of the questions we'd want to ask ourselves if we're starting to notice we are suppressing ourselves, if we've put the brakes on ourselves, so to speak, or if we're feeling inhibited?
A really great question, and I know you're going to go, oh, no, another question, Josh. Another great question is, what do I love to do? And if you're asking yourself, what do I love to do, I doubt that there'll be there won't be. I like suppressing myself, you know. I mean, that's playful. However, wake up again. You know, it's like you are creating your own reality. So, do you want to hold back? Do you want to stop yourself from doing, you know, what you want to do? Do you want to say what you want to say? So it's like basically stop and shift into, you know, I want to express myself instead of suppress myself.
Right, right. And what about, you know, when we're feeling inhibited, often that's really a childhood thing. I remember, I'll give you a personal example.
Very often.
There was a certain kind of man, older man, who would always, I'd feel a little inhibited around. And then until I realized it was the paternal figure in my family, because they could be very... very daunting, very intimidating. Not to me, they weren't, but they were to other people. And I think I picked that up and associated that kind of person And it wasn't till I realized, oh, I'm thinking as a 5-year-old child, that you realize what's going on.
I know. And it's like, I always think of like being free. I love children and I love to watch children play. And, you know, they just are not going to stop themselves from twirling in the wind if that's how they feel. And that's the, you know, what I advocate getting back to, no matter what your age or stage or your job or your role is that to get into the free, the freedom of expressing yourself and not stopping yourself. Mm-hmm. You are so right to say that often that comes from, you know, a childhood experience or, you know, basically the message is don't be, you know.
Right.
Don't be so loud.
Right.
Don't be
right.
so fun. You know, whatever it is. It's
right.
like, okay, I don't want that anymore in my life. I want to be, you know, living my life from exuberance and brightness, as you mentioned. So it's like when you feel inhibited, you really almost literally have to step out of that and say, okay, why am I allowing this to happen?
Give us an example in your own life when you've gone through that, if you would. If you can think, or working with a client and how you've turned that around for them.
Basically, just and I think you'll smile, Vicki, when I say ask them more questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can you turn this around? You know, who are you with when you feel inhibited? What makes you feel inhibited? You know, what are you personally doing when you have those feelings and that experience? And then go to the opposite and shift into what's the opposite of that? Mm. And which do you want to be? I doubt very many people would say, well, my life goal is to be inhibited. You know, and I'm laughing because it's like, well, then stop it.
Right.
You know, in my coaching, I say, okay, if you don't want to feel deadened up, I had a client once that just, he said, you know, I just hate my job. Everything I do doesn't seem to be right. And so we just turned it around about what he did want. And how he wanted to change that.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news is he really was more able to change himself within the situation than changing the situation. And it was like his attitude.
Right. You know, my grandmother always used to say, success comes in a can. And you have a question on that.
You had a wise grandma.
I did. but you talk about when I say can't and how that is disempowering. Let's talk a little bit about that. You say the phrase I can't limits me by taking away my power of choice. Mm-hmm. More often than not, I can't means I won't. So what do we need to notice when we start hearing ourselves saying I can't?
Once again, stop. Stop and think. Okay, what am I really saying? I remember the day someone told me that when you say you can't, it means I won't. Because it was just like, oh my gosh, that's true. And how excited I felt about, like, you know, I'm the only one that can put that limit on myself.
Right.
I'm the only one that can say I cannot do that. Now, there are some things that I won't choose to do, but it's just a wonderful, wonderful experience to get out of I can't and to, you know, it's like I have to versus I get to.
Right, right.
And going into that positive, well, for me it's positive, a positive place. This is where I want to go and this is how I want to behave and this is what I want to do. And these are the people I want to be with. And the can't is just my own limitation that I set on myself.
Mm. Now, sometimes we can't get to that, this is what I want to do, this is who I want to be, this is where I want to be, how I want to be, and what I want to do. We can't get to that point. I mean, I have friends that I've known for many years who still say, I don't know what I want to do when I grow up. And, you know, I think it's kind of sad because I think we do have a responsibility to ourselves to figure that out one way or another. So sometimes you need to look at what you want to eliminate before you can get to that point, I think. You have a question in the book, notice what I want to eliminate from my life. Any person, place, behavior, object that stops me living peacefully, from living in celebration, from living passionately, is also luring me in a different direction from my truth. Talk a little bit about that, if you would. What kind of challenges do you see with clients when you're coaching with them, or what kind of personal challenges have you had with trying to eliminate certain things from your life?
Going into a new place for themselves, you know, cleaning out clutter, if that's one of the things that, you know, you want to eliminate it from your life. And the focus of what you do want shifts you into what you don't want so often. And so as you start to clean out, literally, you know, you go in the closet and you start to throw out things that you no longer want, it's almost like go into the closet of your mind, go into the, you know, the rooms of the past, going to the rooms of the present. What do you want to keep? What do you not want to keep? And in a way, just commit to eliminating that from your life. And some things you might find that you feel like you can't. We use the word can't, you get eliminated. It's like, okay, then what are you going to do to change your attitude towards that? You will hear me say attitude a lot because I feel that very strongly. You live your life by choice. So it's you that has to change.
Yeah, and you know, I think attitude is not a word that we hear a lot of lately. Do you find that?
It used to be
people would just say, clean up your attitude, you know, change your attitude. And now we want to go through this whole big life process to change things. But I think it was Zig Ziglar who used to say, stop that stinking thinking.
That's definitely a good one. Can't even improve on that one.
So right.
It's
right.
Like, see, that would be like eliminate negative thinking, you know. And it's like, how could I do that, Joyce? Somebody might ask. And I went, well, the first answer is like, just do it. You know, the wonderful, famous slogan, just do it. Is it easy? No. Does it take commitment? Yes.
Yes.
And that is, you know, like coming into the new year, that's something that often people talk a lot about, is that, you know, it's going to take commitment.
Right.
It's going to take consciousness.
Right.
It's going to take the attitude of saying, you know, this is what I want and this is who I want to be.
And as you said right at the very start of the show, it's perfectly okay to begin again and again and again and again if we need to.
That's right.
Yeah, I really appreciate you being with us today, Joyce, and kicking off New Year and sparking some thoughts here. Ton of questions in this book. I mean, for somebody who really wanted to figure things out, it's a great starting place, I think. What's the one thing you'd like to leave our listeners with today?
I would say make this year the year you want to really get to know yourself.
Make this year the
year that you ask yourself the question that was going to help you know and better understand who you really are and what you want to do and experience.
That's
and
great.
Have fun.
great advice, and have fun. I love that. Yes, have fun. Well, you dream bigger, Joyce, and dance some more. Listeners can find out more about Joyce Chapman at joycechapman.com, joycechapman.com. All of her books are listed right up there, and she has a lot of information up there, joycechapman.com. Please do stay with us when we come back. We're joined by Australia's Annette Sim, who's going to share her journey with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
If I can reach the stars, pull one down for you, shine it on my heart, so you could see the truth.
Hi, I'm Terry with tsigns.com with a quick tip for you. Next time you're crawling through traffic, think of it as promoting your business on the road. Reach potential new clients with custom-designed vehicle graphics, from a classy removable door sign to a full car body wrap, or a simple but effective window decal. We can do it all. We're a family-run business here to help new customers find you. See tsigns.com for a personal guarantee or call Terry today at 206-971-6800. Again, 206-971-6800.
If you like to read fiction, check out Book Talk Podcast Reviews, brought to you weekly by Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Go to conversationslive.net and click on the menu at Book Talk to hear reviews of an eclectic range of books. We review fiction from chick lit and mystery to suspense and literary, from new to old, overlooked and forgotten. Check out Book Talk Podcast today at conversationslive.net. If you'd like to suggest a book for review, email info@conversationslive.net or call 206-414-6159.
Hi, I'm Andrea Kay, America's leading career expert. I know it's going to be a great conversation when Vicki St. Clair asked me to offer my career advice on her show. Vicki asks thoughtful questions, she's thorough, she works hard to bring you great guests who walk their talk with information and solutions that can lift your career and better your life so that you'll live well, live strong. My advice? Tune into our conversations and all the interviews on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair for thought-provoking insight and tips on the things that really matter in your life. And visit AndreaKay.com, that's Andrea, K-A-Y.com, for information about my books and loads of free practical advice and inspiration for your career.
More talk, less rock. Come on, that's a good thing. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. My guest in this segment is Annette Sim. She is a best-selling author, she's a low-fat cooking expert and award-winning businessman. She had no formal education or previous business experience, yet turned her weight loss triumph and health struggles into a multi-million dollar business in just 10 years. And to date, she's sold over 3 million of her cookbooks. Annette Sim, welcome to the show.
Well, g'day. How are you?
I'm very, very good and pleased to have you on the show. And even more pleased to get my hands on your cookery book. I wanted to start out, if you would just share some of your journey with our listeners, because you describe yourself as always having been chubby. You said you had to have your wedding dress specially made for you. How did you get into that situation? How did you get to a point where you were like, okay, enough is enough?
Well, I think you're being very kind when you said that I was always chubby, because I was actually fat. I was just okay. Really fat. I was hitting scales at 220 pounds at my heaviest and was just getting bigger every day. This is the thing, you know, you think that at that weight you could maintain it. But, you know, it was really easy for me to just keep eating and eating without any responsibility or little regard to my health. You know, I was real good at that. But and as a child, you know, I'd had problems as well, you know, like all my life I'd sort of had a bit of a battle with the old food. And, you know, in school my nickname was Porky. So, you know, when I look at my school photo, I was the fattest kid in the class. So, you know, there's not good memories of being overweight as a kid either. And when I got married, I had to have my wedding dress made because we've been married 35 years, so it's quite some time. And they just didn't really cater for big women in those days. And it really was very hard to have that low self-esteem. And it was interesting how it all turned around just by one little incident. It's amazing, isn't it, how you have that last straw moment or
right,
that aha
right.
moment, I say, you know, when you just go, enough is enough. And it was me... when I had a friend visiting, because we live in Queensland, which is a little bit like Hawaii, and we had a friend visiting us, and we're at the beach, and she took a photo of me, and that photo, when she sent it to me in the holiday snaps, was what changed my life, because when I looked at that photo, I just went, oh, gee, you're really not doing well. You got to do something here, girl.
Yeah, and it does.
And that's how it all started.
Yeah, it does take that one thing, because you look in the mirror every day, but I don't know, there's some kind of denial going on in the mirror there, I think, sometimes.
Oh, I was real good at that. Just didn't look in the mirror. That was the easiest way. But in a photo, it was there, bang, you know, in your face.
Right.
And, so that day that I got the photo, I mean, I had a good cry, as you know, I had the pity party and sort of felt your poor little thing. And the problem was that I was a chronic dieter. Have you ever gone on a diet?
Yeah, I used to, yeah. They don't work. You're right. They don't work.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing good about it. It's just masochistic. And that's when I realized that maybe it wasn't my fault so much as the diets, because I was trying to do all these crazy ways to lose weight. And, of course, all it did was make me fat. And so I said, well, maybe I just won't diet anymore, because they're obviously not working. And so I just sat down and wrote a little bit of a wish list of what I really wanted to be and how I thought I would have to be to become that healthy person. And that's how I lived by those rules. And it was interesting how it completely changed my life. And in 20 months, I lost, you know, over 70 pounds. And the good news, of course, is that through that time, I taught myself tools to be able to keep it off. And I've been in my healthy weight range for over 17 years. So that's what I teach people, you know, how to not only lose it, but say goodbye to it forever.
Well, I think that's a key thing, because I blame diets for my yo-yo. Yo-yoing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not your fault, honey. It's all those diets, for sure.
But I remember when I was 18 and I fasted for 2 weeks. I ate nothing at all. I just drank water for 2 weeks. And by the end of the second week, I was so weak. I was at college and I had to walk up five flights of stairs. I could barely walk up. Well, my sister, unbeknownst to me, told my mother I wasn't eating. And I get home to this fierce mother with her arms crossed, who said, "You will eat or I will sit on top of you and force it down you." But it worked. I did start eating again. But that's how disorders start, you know, when you're young girls and you're not that well educated on how to eat properly. And you have maintained this for 17 years. So share some of those secrets with us.
Well, it was interesting because the main part of it was I kind of really have to tell you I ate myself slim. Because, you know, when you're on a diet, of course, you do anything but eat. I mean, and when you do eat, it's very boring food, you know. I mean, who invented, you know, celery and carrot sticks as a snack needs to just be shot, you know. I mean, who wants to eat that as a snack? I mean, you certainly can't dunk that in a cup of tea, that's for sure. And, you know, I really thought, okay, I've got to incorporate food that I love, because I've got to realize and accept that I do love to eat. And that's fine. I mean, let's get over the guilt of it. But maybe what I've got to do is, instead of eating lots of really fatty, you know, high-calorie food, I'll make it healthier, and that way then I can eat it without the guilt. Because I think that's the big issue. We get so much guilt when we eat. So I didn't want to do that anymore. I was over it. So I started experimenting in the kitchen, and I was making lasagnas and burgers, you know, low-fat fries and, you know, low-fat cheesecakes and things like that. And, oh, my gosh, the weight was falling off me, and I was having a ball. I mean, I wasn't suffering in any way, shape or form. And it just worked. And, I just continued doing that, you know, in the whole time I was losing my weight. And I think because I ate food that I liked and what I wanted to eat, when I got to my goal weight, it was very easy to just to continue with that. I didn't sort of change anything very much. Just all I had to do was add more food, because obviously when you want to stop losing weight, you need to add more food. And so it was a really simple transition for me. And I think that's the key, to be able to sort of just continue that type of lifestyle and just do it to this day. And it's not hard, because I have everything I like to eat. And I think this is what's worked for so many thousands and thousands of Australians, that I had to bring it over to America. I couldn't keep it a secret.
Right. Well, you know, there are some fantastic recipes in this book. I mean, I love dessert. There's caramel tarts and creme caramel and pear cranberry loaf and carrot cake, blue cheesecake with blueberry sauce. I mean, it's just, and then of course there's the savory stuff too. Did you test out every one of these recipes? Did you create these yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're all my babies. And what I do is I get in there and I'll make it probably many, many times before I'm completely happy with it, because, you know, I want to see how low I can go on the fat count before it makes it no good, you know what I mean? Or how much gelatin's got to go in, and how much, you know, with the calories. Because I look at, you know, not just the fat count, I look at the saturated fat, because all my books are endorsed for diabetics with type 2 diabetes. So it's important that I make sure it's healthy. This is the key to it, that these are all healthy recipes, not just about weight loss. So, you know, for cholesterol problems or heart problems, or, you know, people that are just, you know, really trying to maintain their type 2 diabetes and that, you know, these are great for them as well. And so I look at the the saturated fat, which is really important, because certain fats are very good for you. You know, you need to have them in your diet, but saturated, don't want that in your life. I look at the sodium, which is really important, which is the salt. I look at also the sugars, you know, how much carbs and sugars are in food and the calories.
Right.
So it's a sort of a quite a you know, intricate thing when I'm writing a recipe to make sure that it meets, you know, the needs of everybody.
You talk about glycemic index in there. You have a couple of, well, at the beginning of the book, you explain a few things. And you talk about not all carbohydrates being equal, but that we don't need to eat all carbohydrates in the low GI. I wonder if you talk a little bit about glycemic index.
Yes, I mean, in Australia, the glycemic index has been big out here for quite some time. And I think in America, you know, there's not many cookbooks that include the glycemic index rating, which I have, you know, in each recipe, I give you my a little nutritional box where it lists all those things that I was talking about and much more. And I think it's important to be able to have those wise choices, to be able to look and go, okay, I see why I'm having this or why I'm not going to have it. But in this book, of course, you know, my book that you've got, everything's fantastic, so it's just really great to know that you can. But with the glycemic index, it's really interesting because you have, in it I score the low, medium and high, because I think that's a very good general way to use it. And they do recommend, especially for people with diabetes, that, you know, you go, you know, for the low. But the medium and the high, especially the medium, are quite acceptable to have in your diet as well. And really, it's interesting how you can, when you learn about the glycemic index, what it basically is it just keeps your insulin, eating certain foods, and keeps your insulin at a lower level. Like, for example, if you eat watermelon, it's very high GI, which is glycemic index. So it shoots your insulin levels up real quick, but then it's going to drop it real quick as well. And this is where often you experience hunger.
Right.
And this is a reaction to it. So a lot of people, when they go on my programs, they say, I'm never hungry. This is the first time in my life I'm not just scouring around like a little rat, you know, trying to find food. And that's because I always look at the glycemic index as part of a program. And it's no big deal to have high, medium and low, but it's better to maybe have the bulk of it in the low and the medium.
Right. And so we're just managing that sugar rush as we think of it then. Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I continue talking with Annette Sim. Her book is called Simply Too Good to Be True, and it's spelt, her last name is Sim, S-Y-M, and the Simply is a play on that. It's S-Y-M-P-L-Y. We'll be right back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
She took me in and gave me breakfast, and she said, do you come from a land down under? A women go and men wonder.
Do you love wildlife? Then make a real difference by helping PAWS care for sick and injured wild animals. Volunteers help feed and clean the animals until they are well enough to return to the wild. Sign up today and help save a wild life. No experience necessary. All training is provided. Visit PAWS.org or call 425-787-2500.
If you missed a show on Conversations Live, check out conversationslive.net for dozens of free podcasts. Topics range from health and healing to business and career growth, from personal development to creativity, adventure, and the challenges of the human spirit. See conversationslive.net for talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Conversationslive.net, making a difference one word at a time.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick & Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to help you live well, live strong.
Alternative to what? Alternative to everything else out there on the radio. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
And welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. My guest in this segment is Annette Sim. She's become one of Australia's most well-known low-fat cooking experts. She's the author of 5 cookbooks, all approved by the Australian Diabetic Society. And Annette, I want to talk a little bit about mistakes that you see people making. I'm sure people always rush up to you and ask for tips and when you're giving talks and things. But what are the most common couple of mistakes that you see people make when they're trying to lose weight and maintain that weight?
Oh, I think there's a couple of things that are very strong on it. And I think a lot of times people are not looking at their portions. I mean, I've got a section in my book called Portion Distortion, and I think that even when you're trying to lose weight, you can eat too much of the healthy food. And I think we've lost the concept of what is normal now. I mean, there's just so many places where you get such big meals, and so when you serve up at home, they always look smaller, but they're still way too big. And that's why I included in the front of the book my 28-day weight loss program, so that people can really have that concept and have the tools in this book that can change their life if they choose it. And that's what, what's so important about being able to follow these 28 days, because it tells you what to have for breakfast, lunch, dinner and snacks. And a lot of times people need that when they get started because they're a bit confused. And I think it's a real good way to help people and hold their hand a little bit just to get started. And through doing it, you've got to weigh and measure and things like that. You'll learn exactly where you've been going wrong. And I know for myself, I was eating for 2 people, and that's why I was the size of 2. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
The second problem, I think, is that people think when they're on a diet that they have to really eat very restricted food. You know, they think, oh, well, I can't eat this and I can't eat that, and so much guilt's involved in it. And I go, look, it's about planning everything in. I don't think there's... Look, my motto is everything in moderation is the key to weight loss success. And it's not about saying, oh, well, I can't eat chocolate anymore, and if I like a wine, that's it, I'll never be able to drink wine again. It's not saying no. It's saying, well, maybe just to start with, I'm going to reduce it or cut it out just in the beginning, but how can I introduce it and have it, in my regime that it's not going to, hinder my health or my weight? And that's learning how to include these things, and that, once again, is about looking at portion control, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I've done it myself. I mean, I have little scales. You suggest everybody buy some little scales and really measure things out, because sometimes it's shocking. For example, in a fruit serving, I was thinking I was having 1 serving of fruit on something, and I was actually having 2.5 because it was a big banana. So it creeps up on us, right?
Absolutely. Look, I had one lady that had lost, I think she'd lost over 200 pounds with me. And she did it in a year. It was incredible. And I was helping her through her maintenance program, and she was really struggling and started to put all this weight on. And I'm going, honey, what are you doing? This is crazy. And she said, and she was in tears. She said, Annette, I'm eating everything healthy. I'm doing all the things that I used to do when I was losing my weight, like you've told me to do. I don't know what I'm doing. So we sat there for hours going through everything that she put in her mouth. And then I soon, all of a sudden, realized, and I'm eating grapes. And she said, but they're healthy. I said, yeah, but how much? She said, about, maybe 1 pound or 2. And I went, what, per week or per day? She said, per day. Because they were in season, they were cheap. She was just, thinking, it's all right, I can eat as much grapes as I like. And I went, oh, honey, that's what the problem is. She cut down on her grapes and the weight started balancing out again, and it was a real simple change. So, yes, you've got to make sure you don't overdo any of the food groups.
Right. And I do love the fact, as I said earlier, that you've incorporated so much dessert in there, because I think for many people who do have a sweet tooth, that deprivation, of not having dessert is what can sometimes make them go off the rails. Because if you don't have what you fancy, you can clear that out the whole fridge, right? I've heard people say this. If you don't eat what you really want, you can clear out the whole fridge looking to satiate that. So, and Eric's nodding
absolutely
his head too. So it applies to men too.
Yes, oh, absolutely. And when you've got people coming over, and if you want to make them, like some baked goods and that, to have with everybody, the great thing is that you can make this food and no one's going to know that it's low fat. They're going to just go, wow, this is fabulous. You have to give me the recipe. And then when you tell them, hello, it's got 4 grams of fat, like my cheesecake,
mm-hmm,
they're going to be just over the moon, because people, by given the choice, they would prefer to eat healthy if it still tasted good. You know, I mean, how many times have you eaten something to say, oh, it's really healthy for you, and it's just like eating straw?
Yeah.
It's awful. Well, when I make a recipe, I try and either make it exactly like it should be, like a lasagna or, you know, a creamy pasta sauce or, you know, a creamy sauce of fish or whatever. But I want you to feel like it's normal, but I want you to even then turn around and go, you know what, I think this is even better because, you know, I'm not about just saying, oh, well, it'll do. And when you want, you know, like especially for women, you know, we go through our cycles and I mean, we just have to have chocolate. I'm sorry, we just need it. And so I've got chocolate recipes in here that I used to make that used to pacify me. Instead of sitting down eating a block of chocolate, I would eat, you know, make my chocolate mousse pie or my chocolate slice or my choc chip cookies, things like that. And it really, really helps.
Right. I was just showing Eric a picture of the wicked chocolate cake here, which does look wicked. And it won first prize.
And, you know, it's so good. It's so good. You're never going to want to make another chocolate cake ever again. And, I mean, you know, there's a lot of sweet stuff in here, but there's some fabulous savory as well. Like, you know, there's the sections for the, you know, for the soups and salads, and there's vegetables and side meals and seafood, chicken, meat, Asian sauces for pasta. You know, you've got the desserts and baking, loads of stuff to get cooking. You're going to have such fun with the book.
Yeah. Now, what if somebody's listening to this and thinks, this sounds great, but I hate cooking? What do you say to them?
I say yay to that, because who wants to be in the kitchen cooking for hours? I mean, people say to me, you must love cooking. I go, no, I just love what I get from it. You know, if I spend some time in the kitchen, I get this fabulous food to eat. And so when I write a recipe, I write it so that it's the simplest and easiest possible way you can make it. You know, because I don't think, you know, people have got the time to spend in the kitchen doing gourmet. I want gourmet, but I don't want to spend hours doing it. So basically my technique for cooking is chop it all up, chuck in the pot and cook it.
Yeah.
And who needs to be spending time there? There's better things to be doing.
Yeah, I agree with that. But, you know, saving money, knowing what you're eating is a critical factor when you're trying to lose weight. And you do spell it all out here. Before we go, because we're almost at the end of the segment, I love the fact that you took this. I mean, you said yourself you were called Porky as a kid, which is pretty hurtful. And you took this situation and you turned it into a dynamic business. You're an award-winning businesswoman. You're one of the top 30 entrepreneurs in Australia, I understand. How good does that feel?
Oh, honey, it's pinched me every day. I feel so blessed because I'm doing something that I love, and I just enjoy every minute of what I'm doing because I'm helping people. So it's wonderful. It's very rewarding. And it's lovely to be recognized through the many fabulous awards and that I've been given. Because it's not just about being a good cook when you know, have a successful business, is it? It's about having that business knowledge. And I didn't have any training at all. I just went in and just knew this was my passion and just wanted to help people. And I think when you come in with a good intention opposed to greed, I think it makes all the difference to what you do. And I just think, you know, I've got the answers. And, I mean, obesity is such a big issue, you know, in both America and Australia, that how can I sit back and not work like a Trojan trying to help everybody?
Yeah, is it as bad in Australia as it is here? I know you've been here because we had you booked last year and we had to change things around, but is it as bad?
Yes, no, I've been to America lots and lots. I love it. It's like my second home. I love it. Actually, when I get there, I never want to go. It's only my children that bring me home, really. I'd be quite happy to stay there if I could. But, you know, it's really one of those things that when you're on something that you know is so profoundly successful for people, that you just want to do it and do it every day. And for me, it's a lot of fun because I get to meet some incredible people. But I do believe in Australia. We're probably as fat as you guys. The difference is that there's only 22 million of us, and so it doesn't look as many. You know, with 300 million of you, there's just more overweight people because there's more population, but we're not doing good.
Mm.
Not good. And the kids are the things that worry me more in America as well, because I think there's a lot of obese children that really shouldn't be, you know, worrying about running because everything blobbers when they run, you know?
Right,
I mean,
right.
I know what it's like as a kid.
Right.
So I'm hoping that I can help the parents so that they can help the kids as well.
Okay, well, they can check out more about you and your books at simplytoogood.com. And simply, again, is spelt with a Y. Annette Sim, S-Y-M, is my guest. And her website, again, simplytoogood.com. And the book, again, is the same title, Simply Too Good to Be True. And thank you for being with us, Annette. We'll be back next week with an all-new live show. And I want to thank you for being with us today. And hopefully some of your resolve will last through the end of the week. And until I see you next week, live well, live strong.
Next week on Conversations Live, there are those who say global warming is hype, that sustainability is just a fad, it has no foundation. Others say climate change threatens the habitability of our planet, and that the natural systems we depend on are nearing destruction. Editor Lori Mazur joins Vicky with what she believes are some realistic yet controversial solutions. Please join us Monday at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. I said.